God today, the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me. I want to read about Daniel's experience in Babylon. Most historians believe that Daniel was just a teenager, maybe only 15 or 16 years old when he was taken into captivity. And that really speaks to the character and the integrity of this young man in a foreign country. But let's read this here, Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. Daniel 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse or vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I just want to talk to you a few minutes today about faithfulness and the call that we all have to be faithful unto the Lord and in every other area of our lives. You know, when you become a Christian, then your desire is to be like Jesus. You want to take on the attributes of the Lord. You want to become more and more like Him. And the longer you serve Him, the more you become shaped, formed in the image of Christ. That's our desire, is to know the Lord and to become more and more like Him. And one of the most wonderful characteristics of our Lord is that He is faithful. He is faithful. Praise God. Deuteronomy 7 and 9, it says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. So our God is called the faithful God. He is faithful, and you can desire to be more and more like the Lord. And as you grow in your knowledge and your walk with the Lord, the more faithful you will become. And that's completely contrary to the spirit of the world and the spirit of the age, that because unfaithfulness is pretty much what goes on in the world. People are not faithful to their jobs. They're not faithful to their homes, their families. They're not faithful to their marriages. They're not faithful in any area of their life because they are not following the principles of the Word of God. And so they are not living in a faithful way. Those that are faithful are steadfast. They're reliable. They're dependable. They adhere to duty. They are faithful to duty. They're consistent. They are unwavering. So the person that is faithful in all those areas of their life, their marriage, their family, their business, their finances, and certainly in their relationship with the Lord, they are faithful to God and faithful to the Word of God. Amen. So that we are to be opposite of the direction of this world. And this world pretty much just lives unfaithful. They live by their own dictates, by their own conscience, by their own standards, instead of following the standard of the Word of the Lord. Many of the characters in the Bible were called faithful. Abraham was called faithful. It says that he was found in his heart to be faithful before God. Moses said of Moses that he was faithful in his house, faithful to his house, or faithful to his home and to his family. David, it was said of David that he was faithful among all the servants. David was faithful. And then Daniel, that we just read about, it says in Daniel 6:4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's pretty remarkable. For these men of God, these people of God, to be faithful to the Lord. I just want to remind you today that God blesses faithfulness. God blesses faithfulness. Everything in the world is against it. Everything that's going on in our world today is against the life of consistency and faithfulness to God. But as a Christian, you can commit yourself to the Word of the Lord, to the promises of God, and you can live your life every day faithfully in every aspect, in every area of your life. And one of these days, probably not very long from now, we're going to stand before God, and our desire is to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged according to our faithfulness. How faithful we were to God. How faithful we were in every area of our life. We will be judged. And then that verse also, not only does it say that he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It says, "You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many." So faithfulness sets you up for greater blessings. It sets you up for greater opportunities as you live a faithful life to the Lord. You know, the Bible says that we are all stewards. We're stewards, which just means we are managers or overseers. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says that we are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has blessed us and has poured out upon our lives good things. The grace of God has been poured into our lives. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the grace of God that He has given to you? You're a steward of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God."
So we're described in a number of places in the New Testament as stewards, meaning we're not owners, we're not it's not our possession, but it's given to us to watch over, to steward, to oversee. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God is looking for faithful people, faithful men. He's searching for faithful men and women, people that will be faithful in every area of your life. Let me just mention about three here. First of all, we're to be faithful in the area of our time. Our time. The Bible says, teach us to number our days, because we all know that we have only a certain allotted number of days in this life. And that's up to God. Amen. I mean, I'd like to extend my days, but I know that it's out of my power, out of my control. My life and the length of my life and the number of days are all in the hands of the Lord. Amen. But the Bible says, number your days, or take an account of the fact that you only have a certain amount of time. And it says, number your days that you might be able to apply your hearts unto wisdom. If you understand that my time in this world is limited and it's a gift of God and I should steward it, I should use it to glorify God. Amen. Have you heard people say, when you ask them, what are you doing today? Oh, just killing time. Oh, we don't need to kill time. We need to use our time. We need to use it for things that bring glory and honor unto the Lord. We should manage it, not waste it. Use your time for the glory of God. Amen? Use your time for the glory of God in every area of your life. And that just means that you recognize there's only a certain amount of time in the day, only a certain number of hours, only a certain number of minutes, and it's wise to manage the time that we have, to be a good steward. If you're going to be a faithful man or woman of God, then you're going to see your time as a treasure, as something precious and valuable that God has given to you. So use your time to glorify God. Amen. It's not for your own choosing and your own desires to do with as you choose them. But it would be wise to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I glorify you in this day? How can I do things today that are going to glorify? How can I use the time that you've given to me, the days, the hours, the minutes? How can I use this time for the glory of God? Because you are a steward of the time that you have. Amen. I've heard of people who were down at the end of their life. They knew that they were dying, and they had great wealth and great possessions. And they would say things like, I would give it all my possessions, for just a little bit more time. Just a little bit more time. Your time is a treasure. Your time is valuable. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to do something that's going to advance the kingdom of God. Use it for something that's not temporal, but something that's eternal. Amen. You're a steward of your time. You're also a steward of your talents. You may think, I don't really have any talents. Oh, yes, you do. Every one of us have been given certain talents, certain abilities, certain gifts from God. And they all are also to be stewarded. They're to be used for the glory of God, to honor the Lord with your gifts and your talents. Just want to encourage you, don't sit on your talents. Don't waste your talents, the gifts that God has given to you. But instead, look for ways that you can use them to honor the Lord, to bless the work of God, to bless and advance the kingdom of God. Look for ways that you can do something to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Amen. For those of you that are thinking, I don't really have that many talents, just think about it. What are the things that you love to do? What are the things that God has put in your heart that you enjoy and that you love to do it, and then somehow channel that toward doing it for God, using it for the glory of God, using it to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, my wife, she has a lot of talents. She's got more than her share of talents, I think. But one of her favorite things is children. Children. She loves children. That's why she's 69 years old, and she still climbs up those steps to that Sunday school room, because she loves those little kids. She loves those little children. And you know what? They love her too. And it's always been that way. When we were dating and would go to church dating, the kids would just flock around her, sitting with her and sitting around her. She even got in trouble one time when we were in Bible school. They called her in and said, you know, there's too many kids gathering around you. You need to not cause all these kids to be drawn to you. I don't know if she was handing out candy back then or not, but whatever your love is, God's put that in your heart. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to advance the kingdom of God. And so you might not be a kid magnet like my wife is, but whatever your area of love, whatever your area of gifting is, use it for the glory of God. Be faithful to use the talents that God has given to you for the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what Sister Cheryl Martin did with her ability to crochet and do all these different handwork items. And the lives of so many people have been blessed from that ministry, that prayer shawl ministry, and their efforts to reach out to people, to care about people. Use your gifts, your talents for the glory of God. I know that many of you do that, but I just want to encourage you to understand, or at least to be reminded, that you are stewards of the gift of God that He's given to you. Use it for God's work. Use it for the kingdom of God. Be faithful in the area of your time. Be faithful in the area of your talents. And be faithful in the area of your treasures. You can remember that. Your time, your talents, and your treasures. Your possessions. What God has given to you. Do you understand that everything you have belongs to the Lord? I know you're thinking, wait a minute. That's my possession. That's mine. But the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that's in the world at all is from God. It's all from the Lord. And that you are to honor the Lord even with your treasures, your possessions that He gives to you, and you recognize none of it belongs to me. It all belongs to God. I'm just a manager of it. I'm just a steward of these possessions that I have. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. So everything you have, all your possessions, even the ability, your skills, your ability to work and to earn, all of that is a gift of God. God has given it all to you, and you're to honor the Lord as a faithful servant of the Lord. You're to honor the Lord even with your treasure, your possessions. Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The Apostle Paul was saying, the first day of the week, make your offerings unto the Lord a worship, a giving to God of your possessions, a worship unto the Lord. Amen. The world has a complete misconception about giving in the church. The world thinks, I remember I worked when I was during my Bible school years, I was working at a factory, and When the men all knew that I was in the ministry and I was studying to be in the ministry, and they would tease me about, all you have to do is just get up there for that 30 minutes on Sunday, and then they take up all that money, and you get all that money. That's how the world looks at it. That's the misconception that the world has. They don't understand that there is a broad ministry that's involved here. That you, whatever you give, your tithes and your offerings, and there's a broad ministry. There's so many areas of the work of the ministry that are provided for through your faithfulness with your giving, faithfulness with your offerings. It says in Malachi 3 and 10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord, if it will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to contain it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. The promise of God is, you put God first, you're faithful to God with your possessions and your treasures, and God says, I'll rebuke the devourer, everything that the enemy sends your way to try to rob and steal and take your possessions away. I'm gonna give to you a protection, a provision, whereby God is going to provide for you and he's going to supply your every need. There is a great reward for being faithful to God. Amen. Be faithful to the Lord in every area of your life. So then what about Daniel? We read there in the book of Daniel. Daniel was a teenager, stolen away in captivity, taken all the way to Babylon, which was probably around 800 to 900 miles away. It took weeks and weeks for them to travel that distance through desert country. And then when they finally arrive in Babylon, that city was known as one of the seven wonders of the world. So you can imagine, it is big, it's magnificent, it's something that would certainly attract the attention of a young person to see all the bright lights and all the wealth and all the beauty of this amazing place called Babylon. But Daniel, even in that place, as a young person, had so committed himself, was so faithful to his commitment to the Lord, that he would not allow all of the wealth, all of the treasures, all of the things of Babylon to steal him away, or to steal his affections away from the Lord. And so Daniel spends the rest of his life in Babylon, never gets back to Jerusalem, serves under four different kings or four different administrations down there. But in every one of those situations that God allowed him to be in, he honored God. He honored the Lord, and God used him. He refused to compromise. You see, the Babylonians' tactic was not to abuse their slaves or their servants, but instead, they brought them in and they treated them with kindness. They treated them good. And their whole desire was to seduce them into being like them. So they would treat them with goodness and with kindness to seduce them. They wanted them to speak their language. They wanted them to follow their culture, their customs, and to do the things that they were doing. But Daniel refused to compromise. He wasn't going to be molded by the culture of that day. He was going to honor the Lord instead. Praise God. You see, he understood that even though he was living in Babylon, Babylon didn't have to get in his heart. And he determined, I'm gonna be faithful to God, even in a foreign land, even when no one would even know. But God honored him and rewarded him in his faithfulness unto the Lord. And God used him. And during that period, that training period, when he said, he made an appeal and said, let us just eat the vegetables. Just let us eat the food that we're accustomed to. instead of one of the main reasons why that he did want to partake of the meat and the wine was because it all had been offered to idols. It had all been associated with their idol worship, and he didn't want to have any association with anything that was going on in that pagan land. He wanted to honor the Lord. He wanted to be faithful to God in all that he was doing. Praise the Lord. And God blessed him. God blessed him so much that he gave to him wisdom and knowledge. He gave to him the ability to interpret dreams. That his ability was so such a gift from God that it was noticed by Nebuchadnezzar the king that they were 10 times wiser and not more knowledgeable than all of the other servants. Praise God. That was the blessing of the Lord. Let me tell you, there is a blessing in a life of faithfulness to God. Amen. God knows what he's doing. You be faithful to the Lord and God will bless your life. He will provide for you. I had an uncle. Actually, it was my great uncle, my dad's uncle. And he had been in World War II. He came out of that situation and he was, by his own testimony, a very vile man. He could not hardly speak without being profane and using terrible language. He had a terrible temper. He was just a man was full of himself and full of his love for the things of the world. But thank God, one day he heard the gospel and he got saved. And I mean, he got really saved. And he was so changed. He had a good job. Working on that job, he began to witness. One of the commitments that he had made to the Lord was, I'm not going to work on Sunday. I'm not going to work on the Lord's Day. That was his commitment that he'd made to the Lord. I work 6 days a week, but the Lord's Day, I'm not going to work. But then his job changed, and they began to say, require him. You're going to have to work certain number of Sundays. And so then he was faced with the challenge. What do I do? But he went to his boss, and he said, I'll work 6 days a week. I'll work as many hours as you want, but I've covenanted with the Lord that I'm gonna go to church on Sunday. I'm not going to work on Sunday. I've given that day to the Lord. Well, the story goes that he lost his job. He lost his job because of that commitment. And he had to get another job, and a job that paid a lot less. But he was okay with that. He was able to keep his promise, his covenant to the Lord, that he was going to honor the Lord and be faithful to the Lord on the Lord's day. About 4 months after that he had lost his job, he was in a place of business, and he ran into his old boss. And his boss said, listen, we've not been able to find employees like you that'll be faithful to work like you worked. If you'll come back, we'll not only not require you to work on Sunday, but we'll increase your pay. We'll even give you a raise if you'll come back. And so he kept his commitment, honored the Lord, was faithful to the promises of God in his life, and God honored him and gave him his job and blessed him. Praise God. Let me tell you, God honors faithfulness. He honors faithfulness in every area of your life. And he honored Daniel and those three Hebrew children. He honored them because they were faithful to their commitments. So thus, they had influence in the kingdom. God used them in the kingdom. If you'll honor the Lord, he'll honor you. If you'll be faithful to God and to the promises of God, God will bless you and work in your life as you are faithful. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Psalm 5:12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Just in recent weeks, we've talked a lot about Joseph and how that God honored Joseph because he was faithful to his commitment to the Lord. He was faithful to honor the Lord. And God just promoted him and promoted him and promoted him and put him in a position where he could be a blessing not only to the entire nation but to his family and to everyone. God positioned him, and it was because of his integrity and his faithfulness to God. Amen. So the promise is this. God calls us to live a life of faithfulness. And if we will, God will work in our lives in a supernatural way. He'll move in our behalf as we honor the Lord with our commitment. He gave to them knowledge, influence, talking about Daniel and those three Hebrew boys. Knowledge, influence, wisdom. God gave them knowledge and skill 10 times better. The gift of God, it was from God. It came down to them from up above. God blessed them. Praise God. That wisdom is not from men, but it is from above. Amen. The gift of God. And I believe that God is looking for faithful people. Faithful men and women. Faithful that'll be people that'll be faithful to the word of God. Faithful to their commitment to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord. Eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, faithful people are hard to find. Just talk to any employer, people that have to hire people. Faithful people are hard to find. If you'll be a faithful person, God will honor you. God will reward you. God will bless you. If you be faithful to the Lord, if you be faithful to your family, to your home, to your marriage, if you'll be faithful in the area of your finances, in every area of your life, be faithful to God. Amen. God will bless you. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 20, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? They're rare, but when you find a faithful man, a faithful woman of God, that person can do great and mighty things, praise God, in the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. And really, faithfulness is the key to a life of victory. It's the key. Just stay at it. Just be faithful. Even when it's difficult and hard, just remain steady and faithful unto the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 28 and 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Just be faithful. Amen. Just be faithful. Answer the call to be a faithful man or woman of God, and God will honor that conviction, that determination. Pray. God, that you would minister mightily, Lord, and strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, to answer the call to be a faithful man, a faithful woman, to serve you, Lord, with integrity, in spite of what the world is doing. Live our lives to honor the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, the faithful life, it begins when you turn your life over to Jesus. It begins when you confess your sins. You repent of your sins. And you call upon the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you can try to be faithful in every area of your life, but you're probably going to come up short. God, by his grace, by his power at work in your life, can cause you to be faithful in every area. Family, marriage, home, finances, business, every area of your life. And certainly, in your commitment to God and to the things of God, the house of God, you can be faithful to the Lord. Hallelujah. But you need Jesus in your life. You need the Lord in your life.
And I just ask you today, if you don't know the Lord, would you just take a moment just to call upon the Lord? Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, and ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask Him to begin a new work in your life, a life of faithfulness unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't we stand, everybody that stand today. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you're at work in our lives. Every day, in every area of our life, Lord, you're at work, and we thank you for that. Praise God. Lord, give us the courage, like Daniel had, to stand strong, to be faithful to you, Lord, even in the face of a world, a culture that is going the opposite direction. Help us, Lord, to remain true to you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray today. As many of you as it would find a place to pray, come around the altars, kneel at your seat. We're going to pray just a little while here before we close this service. And if you're not a Christian, this would be a good time just to call upon the name of the Lord. Ask the Lord into your heart, into your life, and believe God to help you, to save you, to deliver you, and put you on a whole new direction in your life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.